Hello, this is Lincoln with the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, April 17th, 2025. We'll begin at the top of the page. Gold Star Family's Monument Dedication set April 26th in Watsika. This is by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Many members of the public were expected to line the streets of Watsika April 17th as the Gold Star family's monument arrived in Legion Park. The monument dedication ceremony is set for 1 p.m. April 26th at 912 South 4th in Watsika's Legion Park. Following the ceremony, free food and live entertainment will be at the Silo Pub and Eatery. Scott Allen, one of the organizers, said everyone is invited to the dedication. If there's any Gold Stars who are out there yet and have not contacted me, I'd like to have them contact me so we know they are coming. It's all about them. It's all about the Gold Stars, he said. The project has been a labor of love for the committee over the past couple of years. Fundraising has taken place locally for several months. A groundbreaking was conducted in Legion Park in September of 2023. There is a local committee working on the project, and the group is working through the Woody Williams Foundation, which helps to establish the memorial monuments throughout the country. The local committee is made up of Tammy Allen, Gold Star Mother, Chris Hemp, Gold Star Mother, Eric West, and Janet Doyle, with honorary board members Scott Allen and Alicia Marshall. The Woody Williams Foundation is a 501c3 that pursues specific endeavors and goals through the vision of Medal of Honor recipient Herschel Woody Williams. The foundation encourages, with the assistance of the American public and community leaders, establishing permanent Gold Star families memorial monuments in communities throughout the United States, conducting Gold Star families outreach across the country, and providing living legacy scholarships to eligible Gold Star family members. According to the website woodywilliams.org, Williams honored and served Gold Star families throughout his life, and the foundation helps that legacy continue. People can also ask questions by emailing Watsika Gold Star Memorial at gmail.com or call 815-671-5494. Allen said, "Whatever donations we get that doesn't pay for the monument itself will be left in a bank for repairs and maintenance. There are a couple of events planned, like a Jeep and motorcycle run this fall, are still in the works to raise money." This is the third Gold Star Families Monument in Illinois. The other two are in Naperville and Bourbonnais. This monument is not for any particular fallen. It's actually not for the fallen at all. It's for the families of the fallen, he said. I'd like for the Gold Star families to reach out to us so we can recognize them. This monument honors the Gold Star families, but it also brings remembrance to the fallen. They say a person dies twice, once when the heart stops beating, and then the last time their name is said. So we want to keep on saying the names and remembering. He said there are some saying that highlight the purpose of the monument, say their name, always remember, live a life worthy of their sacrifice. I did not coin any of those phrases, but I agree with it. I embrace it. To me, that's what it should be about. Sheldon TIES to host Soccer League camp in Kentland again this year. The Kentland Town Council heard about the Soccer League that will play at Cast Park this summer. This is by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Jody Havens of Sheldon TIES said, "Last year we came across the border and hosted our soccer camp. Thank you very much. It was very well spoken of. We appreciate that." She said they would like to host it again this year. She said there was a first responder game that people really liked, and they are planning to have that game again. The first responder game is June 29th. We have kids that are school-aged. There are different teams. They play one game a week on Sundays, she said. Coaches are asked to have at least one practice a week to teach basic skills. The games are just for fun. She did the goals are already at the park. I guess that's she said the goals are already at the park, and she thanked the town for getting them ready to go. She said there is already 100 kids signed up. The games will be in June. The registration closed April 15th. The camps draw players from Indiana and Illinois. Some concessions are available. She said the Sheldon TIES provides the insurance. The town council members all said the games are great for the community and approved it happening again this year. Rural Crescent City Woman Shares Cancer Journey by Kim Rabe for the Times Republic. Cancer, as listed in the 1976 edition of Webster's 7th New Collegiate Dictionary, is defined a malignant tumor characterized by potentially unlimited growth with local expansion by invasion and systemic by metastasis. Going forward 48 years, Oxford Languages Online defines cancer as one, a disease caused by an uncontrolled division of abnormal cells in parts of the body, or two, a practice or phenomenon perceived to be evil or destructive and hard to contain or eradicate, such as the drug use sweeping across the U.S. like a cancer. Regardless of how you have heard or learned about cancer, the bottom line is, it is a disease which changes the entire direction of your life as you have lived it up until diagnosis. And that's how it was for rural Crescent City resident Julie Alden, who learned she had breast cancer in 2023. She said her reaction to the cancer diagnosis was a devastating diagnosis, especially after caring for my mom during her battle and seeing what she went through. Her mother, Joy Crosswell, had a rare breast cancer, inflammatory breast cancer, which is the type diagnosed in 1 to 5% of breast cancers. She was a healthy, active lady. It took her life in 11 months. Before discussing her cancer journey, let's meet Julie. She married her high school sweetheart, Jason, on February 15, 1997. From their union, they have three children, Grace Corbin Alderton of Des Moines, Iowa, Nolan and fiancé Amy Peters of St. Charles, Missouri, and John, who attends Monmouth College. Other family members who surrounded her during her cancer journey were her dad and stepmother, Jim and Diana Crosswell, her brother and sister-in-law, Jim and Crystal Crosswell, brother and sister-in-law, Jeff and Tina Crosswell, father-in-law, Paul Alden, brother and sister-in-law, Jason and Stacy Connor, brother and sister-in-law, Paul and Kelly Milk, stepbrother and fiancé, Dave Hutt and Julie Fan, along with many nieces and nephews. She credits her family for surrounding her during her cancer treatment, as well as many close friends. Alden has a wide circle of friends she gained during her almost two decades as a preschool teacher and currently as the owner of a flower shop, Joyfully Yours. Additionally, she has generally been involved in her community. Since 2024, she has been a member of the Iroquois County Fair Board. She's currently serving as a Trinity Church volunteer, which she has attended 26 years. Since 2024, she has been a Healing Strong group leader. She was a member of the Iroquois West Boosters 2019 through 2023. She was a 4-H leader 2010 through 2022. And she was an active member of Crescent City Grade School's Crescent Iroquois Booster Club 2015 to 2018. Additionally, she was supported along the way by My Breasties. This is a group of ladies from the Healing Strong support group. We were brought together through unfortunate circumstances and have a very special bond, Alden said. We lift each up through text and prayer. Shortly after her diagnosis, Randy and Libby Wilkin, church friends, were praying for her. A month later, Libby discovered herself in the same situation as Julie. She was diagnosed with the same rare type of breast cancer. Libby reached out to Julie and asked if she wanted to help start a support group at their church. In December 2023, Alden said, we had our first meeting. Alden continued, my maternal aunt has battled breast cancer twice, so I started getting mammograms at 35 years old because of my family history. I've gotten regular mammos since. In the last 10 years, I had 3 cysts in my breasts. I went to the doctor with each. All were not of any concern and went away on their own. At the end of July 2023, I noticed another one. I was busy starting my flower business and preparing to move son John to college, so I let it go. There are some pictures here. One of Julie on the day of her last chemo treatment, which was April 9th, 2024. Very lovely. The photo was taken on Julie's last day of treatment, after which she got to ring the bell, surrounded by her family. Shown here are left to right Crystal Crosswell, Jim Crosswell, Alex Crosswell, Jim Crosswell Sr., Julie, Jeff Crosswell, and Chipper Crosswell. During a cancer-free party in July 2024, Julie and Jason were surprised with the trip of a lifetime, a trip to Hawaii. This trip, from her bucket list, took place last January. And there's a picture of her in Hawaii and chemo day one. There's a picture. This photo was taken of Julie on her first day of chemo. She would get 16 treatments over 5 years. She said she made it through chemo with minimal side effects. When I noticed that it wasn't going away and was actually getting bigger, I went to the doctor on September 27th, 2023. She ordered an ultrasound September 29th. During my ultrasound, the technician came in and told me that it was suspicious and he thought I needed a biopsy right away. She said, I got a biopsy the following week on October 5th. I received a call from my primary doctor on October 11th. That I had invasive ductal carcinoma. After final pathology came back about a week later, I was told it was triple negative breast cancer. I had never heard of TNBC before my diagnosis, she noted. 15% of all breast cancers are TNBC. Prior to starting the treatment process, Alden related how she kept her immediate family up to date. I had kept my immediate family up to date all the way, along the way. I didn't want to catch them off guard, so they knew about the biopsy and such. The hardest person to tell was my dad. He was an amazing caregiver to my mom during her battle. Her father had remarried 1.5 years after his wife passed, Alden said. A few years later, Diana was diagnosed with breast cancer. She endured a lumpectomy and radiation and has been clear ever since. I knew it was going to break his heart. The next step was her treatment. I had weekly chemo for 12 weeks in conjunction with immunotherapy every 3 weeks, then 4 cycles of a stronger chemo every 3 weeks. I started a chemo November 14, 2023, and ended on April 9th, 2024. I got a double mastectomy May 7th, 2024. I resumed immunotherapy July through August. I made it through chemo with minimal side effects. Lost hair, lost taste, fatigued. She was fortunate. Her body responded well to chemo. I could no longer feel my tumor 6 weeks into the chemo, so I knew it was working. I had clear margins after surgery, considered to be cancer-free, she said. I will continue with checkups every 4 months for the first 2 years, then every 6 months, then annually after that. Though her family and friends provided the physical support, Julie noted her faith in God gave her spiritual strength. God is my everything, she said. During my battle, as I drew closer to Him, I knew that He has refined me. It's easy to have faith when life is good. Having faith when life is spinning out of control, when you are walking the valley, is hard. I like to have control, and God showed me to let go and let Him. On her last day of chemo, Julie got to ring the bell, surrounded by my family. They had flowers and signs for me. The night before her mastectomy, which was about a month after finishing chemo, family members arranged a time of prayer in our front yard. We were encompassed with their love as they took turns praying for us. This past fall, Julie said, I had a nurse ask if we've ever considered opening our breast cancer support group to other types of cancers. She said there aren't any other cancer support groups in Iroquois County. Around the same time, I came across a group called Healing Strong. I had researched cancer a lot since my diagnosis and what I could do to help my body heal during treatments. We know chemo kills good and bad cells. I changed my diet to mostly nutrient-dense foods. She admits she still eats junk food here and there. Regular exercise and detoxed my environment as much as I could. Healing Strong is a group that took everything I had learned and implemented and put it into a 12-month curriculum. I signed up to be a leader following their core values aligned with mine. Knowing their core values aligned with mine. Their mission statement, our mission is to connect, support, and educate individuals in community who are facing cancer and other diseases by focusing on strategies that help to rebuild the body, renew the soul, and refresh the spirit through God's Word. What was our breast cancer support group has become Healing Strong and kicked off in January 2025. It is a group for anyone with autoimmune disease, chronic illness, or anyone interested in preventing disease. So true for everyone. We have a lot of fun learning together. We cover topics on diet, detoxification, supplementation, emotional health, and well-being. During her treatment, Julie received a tote bag full of lovely things from two dear friends. This became my chemo bag. I would load it up with things to keep me occupied during treatments, 3 to 5 hours each. After I completed treatments, I wanted to give back. I put items on an Amazon list and shared the idea on my Facebook page. Every item was purchased. I was able to make 18 bags that were filled with things that helped me through chemo. I delivered them to Riverside Oncology in Kankakee and Watsika to be handed out to new breast cancer patients. I also attached a note of how each item helped me and some encouraging words. Looking to our future, she said, after watching my mom go through cancer 20 years ago, I learned that each day is a blessing. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. This was amplified through my diagnosis. I try to live each day trying to be a blessing to those I come in contact with, whether I know them or not. A kind word, friendly smile, lending a hand, etc. She wants others to know you don't have to go through it alone. Whether you have a family or not, there are others who are here to support you. She hopes to be able to help others. I like knowledge and have learned a lot about cancer through my research and journey. I hope to come alongside others through their journey, be an encouragement, and share the things I've learned, she said. Healing Strong meets at 7 p.m. the second Thursday of each month at Trinity Church, Ashcombe Campus, 701 South Front Street. The group focuses on strategies to heal the body, soul, and spirit through curriculum provided by HealingStrong.org. Anyone facing cancer, other diseases, or wanting to prevent disease is welcome. Questions about Healing Strong can be directed to Alden at hs.ashcombe@gmail.com. Last July, her family and friends celebrated with a cancer-free party. After the party, she was surprised with the trip of a lifetime. Family blessed us, she and Jason, with a trip to the place off my bucket list, Hawaii. Jason and I went on that amazing trip in January. She made special mention of her husband. Jason has been my rock throughout it all. Cancer doesn't just affect the person with it, it affects everyone around them as well. He has loved me well every step of the way. In finishing her story, Julie said, I am so blessed. My family, friends, and church got me through this journey, and they continue to walk beside me. That's worth more than anything. There are a couple of scriptures which got her through the hard times, and those are, For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. And those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. When relating the second scripture, Alden noted, On the way home from my first chemo, we saw two eagles sitting on the field near our house. Julie credits her family and friends for their constant support in getting through her cancer. Pictured here are from left to right, husband Jason, Julie, daughter Grace, and her husband Corbin Alderton, Emmy Peters, fiance of son Nolan, and son John. And now the obituaries. Celebration of life for Frederick Tomlinson Miller, born on October 1st, 1943, went home to be with the Lord on March 24th, 2025. Fred was born, raised, and lived in Kentland, Indiana, for his young life of 81 years old. Fred was a member of several groups, including Boy Scouts, Lions, Masonic Lodge, and Ducks Unlimited. A gathering of family and friends will be held to share memories on Saturday, April 19th, 2025, at the Kentland Community Center, 405 North 4th Street, Kentland, Indiana, 47951. Refreshments will be served from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and that is tomorrow, Saturday, April 19th. Burnell William Bowman, aged 91, of Hersher, passed away Saturday, April 12, 2025, at the Villas of Hersher. He was born November 13, 1933, in Milford, the son of William and Erna Bruins Bowman. Burnell was a negotiator for Argonne National Labs and retired in 1993. He went to school at Valparaiso Business School and Crescent City High School and worked for the Department of Energy. Burnell enjoyed having coffee with his friends. He was the financial manager for the Little Lambs Preschool at Trinity Lutheran. He served on the board of directors at Prairie View Lutheran Home in Danforth and was treasurer of the Hersher Townhomes. He was a veteran of the U.S. Army. Burnell was a member of Trinity Lutheran Church. Surviving are one sister, Venita Brutlag of Hersher, and 10 nieces and nephews. Burnell is preceded in death by his parents, one sister, Adeline Hilgendorf, and 2 brothers-in-law, Marvin Brutlag and Reverend Maynard Hilgendorf. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. until the time of the 11 a.m. funeral service on Thursday, April 17th, that was yesterday, 2025, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hersher. Reverend Eric Brown officiated the service. Interment will follow at Trinity Lutheran Cemetery in Hersher. Memorials may be made to Prairie View Lutheran Home in Danforth or Trinity Lutheran Little Lambs Preschool. Please sign his guest book at www.schrefflerfuneralhomes.com. Two arrested in Watseka after police investigate fight. Two people were arrested April 14th in Watseka after police were called to a fight outside of a vehicle. According to Watseka police reports, at 4:35 a.m., April 14th, police were dispatched to the 1700 block of East Walnut Street in reference to a male dragging a female and fighting outside of a vehicle. Police conducted an investigative traffic stop on a vehicle matching the description in the 1100 block of East Walnut Street. The vehicle was driven by Jacob W. Price, 41, of Creve Coeur. Police approached the vehicle and advised Price to step out of the vehicle. According to police reports, Price disobeyed lawful commands by police, and after a brief struggle, Price was successfully placed under arrest. He was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, illegal transportation of alcohol, aggravated battery to a police officer, and resisting arrest. Also arrested was the passenger, Danielle V. Gee, 40, of Pekin. During the traffic stop, Gee was interfering with the arrest of Price. Gee was arrested and charged with obstruction. Price and Gee were transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where they were turned over to corrections staff. Iroquois County Economic Interests Statement deadline set for May 1st. According to Illinois state statute, all officials of local government are required to submit statements of economic interests no later than May 1st, 2025, said Iroquois County Clerk Brian B. Suver in a news release. Persons who have failed to file by this date are subject to a $15 late fee. In addition, persons who have failed to file by May 15th may be fined $100 a day from May 16th until the statement is filed, in addition to the $15 late filing fee. Failure to file the form by May 31st shall result in ineligibility or forfeiture of office or position of employment, as the case may be. Approximately 1,185 officials are required to file in Iroquois County. 225 have not filed as of this date. This includes officials from the following townships, villages, schools, drainage districts, fire districts, multi-township assessing districts, libraries, county government, park districts, and cemeteries. Persons with questions may contact the county clerk's office staff at 815-432-6960. This has been Lincoln reading the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, April 17th, 2025. I look forward to reading to you again soon. Have a great day.